All right, good morning, everybody. This is Bio 231, and it is February 1st. And this week later, I think Tuesday, I don't think anybody has a Tuesday lab in here, but starting Tuesday, practicums are going to start for the first two labs. Just talk to your lab instructors about what's on that test. Everybody's lab is a little bit different. Some people will be tested more and less on other things. Make sure you know what's going to be tested in your particular lab. And let's see, what else? Don't forget, tomorrow night, another online quiz you have to do. And there are still some people that haven't seen me. They got some error codes when they're doing quizzes. And I talked to a couple of people that said that swore they were doing it properly, but the quiz hung up on them, all right? And then that kills your grade pretty much in there. So we would sit down and work the quizzes together. And one thing I noticed is that, you know, when you go from one, what do you do when you go from one question to the next question? You know, you can click that little tiny arrow at the bottom, or you can do what? It's even better, because you shouldn't even click. You shouldn't even click, because there's a little problem. If you hit the save button, that will kill your quiz. So just hit enter, all right, and then you get another window and it says, are you sure you want to? And then you hit enter again. Okay, I watched a couple students, and when they're ready to go to the next question, they go enter, and it would hang up on them every once in a while because they hit the two enters too fast. So hit the first enter, let the window pop up, and then hit enter again. All right, so it's not like enter, it's what? Enter. Yeah, enter, pause, enter. And then you're ready to go to the next question. So we just all have to learn about these little computer tricks. All right, so today we're going to move on to histology. As soon as that screen turns on, I guess I got another comment too. So when you come into class, just make sure your homework is out so you can show me your homework as you're walking into class, right? Because I really want to reinforce that in this class, you really have to do something to pass the class. You just can't come and like watch TV, okay, listen to me lecture and do well on the test. You have to do the questions at the end of the chapter. There's online questions. There's dragging and drop exercises. There's all kinds of really cool things in Blackboard. And if you do that stuff, you'll probably have a really fun time on the test, would be my guess. All right, you'll be really prepared for it. An example I have is, how about if you were to come to class, and let's just say this is a foreign language class, and let's just say I was going to speak to you in Mandarin the whole time, and you would just come to class and listen to me speak Mandarin to you for a semester, and you did nothing except listen to me. How much Mandarin would you learn? Not very much, right? In order to learn a language, what do you got to do? You got to practice it. You got to use it. The same thing for anatomy, right? So if you can't, you got to find a little effort to study. And if you just don't feel like studying, I don't know. I kind of feel bad about your chances in here. You got to find some time to do that. All right, is the screen on? Indeed it is. Here's a sign-in sheet for today. Just the first column, please, and this is the latest roster. If you're not on here, then you're probably not registered. All right, so that's the latest one. So hopefully everyone will see themselves. And don't forget, we do have SI today at 1:30. And that's in Humanities 203. I didn't put it in Blackboard, but I have to put it in Blackboard. Did you send me an email? Send me an email with some of those numbers, and I'll put an announcement in Blackboard, so that way if you want to find out where it is, like a Sunday night or something. I noticed somebody sent me an email, but I didn't have the room number, so I didn't email you back. Okay, I'll post it. All right, so we're talking histology, all right, which means it's the study of tissues. What's the building block of a tissue? Okay, so can you picture that hierarchical organization that you had to learn for chapter one? All right, so it's a little bit of an analysis problem. Analysis means you break complicated things down into its component parts, and you understand its component parts and add all the little pieces back together to understand something complicated like the human body. So the smallest things that we looked at in this class are the building blocks of life. What are the building blocks of life? a cell. And so you could think of a cell as the structural and functional unit of life. All right? And if we put a bunch of cells together, and those cells all look about the same, and they're performing the same kind of function, and even the junk that's in between the cells is all the same, then we call that a tissue. So a tissue is a group of cells. They're all performing the same kind of function. They all look the same. Even the extracellular material is the same. We call that a tissue. Okay. The nice thing about tissues is that there's only four kinds that make up your body. So you could point to some part of your body, and I could tell you what tissue that is, because there's only four. That's pretty easy. All right, so here are the four. Right here, the first one is epithelium. And epithelium also makes glands. So glands and epithelium kind of work together. Epithelium covers the surface or lines a cavity. Like, what covers your body? It's skin, and that's an epithelium. This most superficial layer is an epithelium. And when I say superficial, what does that mean to you in anatomic language? That's right on the surface, right? That's not deep at all. All right, so epithelium is one kind. Connective tissue is another kind. It connects different parts of your body together functionally or provides support. Another kind is muscle tissue. And you got three kinds of muscle tissue. Guess what muscle tissue specializes for? Contracting or shortening. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hear what everybody said, but it shortens, right? It can't really push, right? It can only contract or shorten. And there's three kinds. Anybody know the three kinds yet? Yeah, what? Smooth is one. Cardiac is another. Those are both involuntary. And then skeletal muscle. That is a voluntary kind of muscle. As a matter of fact, guess what the only thing in your body is that you can't control? Is skeletal muscle. Everything else is controlled automatically or autonomically by a special nervous system in your body. Okay, and then the last is nervous tissue. And there are two kinds of cells that make up nervous tissue. There are kinds that send electrical signals very long distances. We call those neurons. And then there's other cells that support neurons to do their job, and we call those neuroglia. So we'll talk about all those things sometime really soon. All right, a membrane is actually two of these tissues that combine to do a job, and a membrane is made up partly of epithelium and partly of connective tissue. All right, so let's talk about epithelium. Some characteristics. Well, cover surfaces of the body like your skin, lines a cavity like there's a tube that goes through your body from mouth to anus. That's your digestive tract. There's an epithelium that lines that tube. Right? We call that the gastrointestinal tract. And your blood vessels need a lining. That's an epithelium, but since it lines a blood vessel, sometimes we call that an endothelium. Kind of sounds the same, but endo means what? A lining on the inside of something as opposed to on the surface. All right, so epithelium forms glands. It has very little extracellular material. So when you look at an epithelium, the cells of an epithelium, what do the cells look like? Far apart or packed close together? Very, very close together. Cell membrane to cell membrane, because there's very little extracellular material. So it's made mostly of cells. It has a free surface that we call an apical surface. Let's see, let me get a picture. All right, so here is a pretty good picture of an epithelium right here. So here is a basement membrane that connects the epithelium to underlying structures like maybe bone or muscle, something like that, or whatever deep to the epithelium. And then up over here, there's nothing. So this is what we call this is the free surface, because it's interacting with the environment or the lumen of a tube. And the lumen of the tube is just the center area of a tube that things pass through that tube in. That could be a blood vessel or digesting material. So this is the apical surface, and then this is the basal surface. And notice just by the structure of these surfaces, what can you tell me? Is the apical surface, does it look the same compared to the basal surface right here? No, it looks different, which means what? In terms of function, when we start to study function, then it's going to have a different function. Okay, so you guys will appreciate that in maybe about a year or so. Okay, so here's the apical surface, here is the basal surface. Here we have connective tissue underneath the epithelium, and there's where we have a blood vessel, but do you see any blood vessels in the epithelium itself? That's a really strange characteristic of all epithelia. They do not contain blood vessels. They just don't go up in there. And you're kind of pretty much aware of that, because have you ever gotten a paper cut, and maybe you cut this nerve right here, and you go, oh, ow, that stung really bad, and then you go look at your finger expecting a big laceration with blood all over the place, and you look and you go, what? That's not even bleeding. Okay, and you feel all kind of dejected because, well, oh, that hurts so bad, but it's such a little paper cut, I'm not even bleeding. But why is that? Because epithelium never contains blood vessels. Okay, so you're pretty much aware of that already. Okay, let's classify epithelia. And we're going to classify them according to some anatomic reasons. All right, which is by the shape of the cells and then by the number of layers. So the two main categories for epithelium are shape of cells and layers. Cells can have different shapes. They can be squamous, which means in English, what does that mean? It means flat, right? So a squamous cell is flat. It can be cuboidal, which means it's like square except in three dimensions, right? The width is equal to the height, it's equal to the depth. Or it can be columnar, which means that in one dimension it's a lot longer compared to the other two. Looks like a column. Okay, then as far as layers go, it could be a simple if it has one layer, or if it has more than one, it's going to be stratified. And then there's a funny one that is what we call transitional, and this is a shapeshifter. I'll show you some of these. All right, so what do some of these cells look like? Well, let's see what maybe my next cell is. Well, this slide right here just depicts the layers that we use to classify an epithelium. The one on the top is called simple because it's just a single layer. And if it's more than one layer right here, we call that stratified. Okay, and again, you can see the apical surface and the basal surface. And underneath every epithelium, there is a special tissue that's connecting, right, the epithelium with underlying structures, and we call this the basement membrane right here. And so when you look at microscopy slides of tissues, that's one of the things that your eye should automatically go to. You should find the apical surface, right, and somewhere in that slide you should find a nice straight line right here, and that's going to be the basement membrane. Underneath the basement membrane, you're going to see things like connective tissue. All right, so this straight line right here is going to be really important for you to recognize. And you would recognize this as an epithelium, okay, because you have a free surface right here, the basement membrane. And what can you tell me about these cells? Are they separated or are they packed close together? They're packed close together, right? Cell up against cell. All right. Another thing then to classify that epithelium is to know the shape of the cells that make it up. So we see squamous, cuboidal, and columnar right here. Going back to the last slide, all right, it's easy to see that the simple epithelium is made up of flat cells. So we call that squamous. Now, what about this one right here, the stratified one? These down here by the basement membrane kind of look cuboidal, but the ones on the apical surface are squamous. So how the heck would we talk about that one? So, we could say transitional, but the nomenclature that's used is that we use the shape of the cell at the apical surface to name the epithelium. So this one right here is stratified, and the one on the apical surface is squamous, so we would call this a stratified squamous epithelium, even though we see some other cell types in here. Okay, so it's this apical layer. And we're going to run into that when we get to the skin, for instance. Okay, so if we have a simple epithelium, usually that's used in your body to allow material to move from one side of the epithelium to the other. So that's important for absorption. All right, that's a very short distance, like absorbing oxygen from the air into your body. That epithelium has to be very, very thin. If it's a stratified epithelium, then it's usually in a place that is subject to a lot of abrasion or rough handling, like on the surface of your body. Your clothes are rubbing your skin cells off all the time, but that's okay because these down over here are still dividing. What's the process that these cells will reproduce themselves by? mitosis. Those cells will divide by mitosis and work their way up to the surface to replace those that are getting sloughed off. All right, so the same thing for the lining of your mouth, and you probably looked at some of those in lab, right? The buccal cells in lab. That's a stratified squamous epithelium. All right, so those are some classifications. So let's look at some. Where the heck are they going to be? All right, this is a pretty good slide right here. Now, these are really important for lab. You should have been practicing with microscopes to find some of these tissues underneath the microscope so you get good with the microscope. But the first practicum really is going to be photographs taken right out of your book. Unless your lab instructor has some other photos that they really, really like. There might be some lab instructors that put a few microscope slides underneath the microscope that you have to identify, but most on the first practicum will be pictures directly out of your book or something that's very, very similar. So when I look at this slide right here, it might seem pretty complicated. But what are the things that you should look at? How about basement membrane? See this nice circular line right here, basement membrane, and then here is like a tube that has been cut transversely. All right, so it looks nice and circular. So here is the center or the lumen of a tube that has some kind of product flowing through it. And so this is the apical surface. Here's the basal surface. How many cells do you see from the basement membrane to the apical surface right here? Just one. So what kind, in terms of layers, which, how do we call that one? That's a simple. Now, as far as the shape, anybody can guess what shape this is? Now, look, you're only looking through one small section through the cell. You can't see the whole depth of the cell. This one is nice and square, so it's cuboidal. So it's a simple cuboidal epithelium. When you look at these slides, these are all going to be normal slides, but if you ever look at slides for pathology, this basement membrane is going to be very important. You see how nice and smooth and continuous it is? Right, and I want to turn you on to appreciating layers right at the very beginning. Sometimes students in anatomy just don't like to learn layers because it seems like a lot of busy work, but it's crucial, it's critical to know how healthy somebody is or the disease process that's going on. If somebody had cancer, right, this basement membrane would be jagged. You would see cells poking out maybe in one direction, maybe meaning that it's a metastatic carcinoma. All right, so you always look at a basement membrane, it doesn't seem very interesting, but that's because all these slides are normal. But that's really a good thing, right, for wherever they got this slide from. All right, so simple cuboidal epithelium. How about another epithelium? Here's the basement membrane, apical surface, here's the lumen of that tube. What are these cells? What's the shape look like? Columnar and the layers. Simple, there's just one layer. So this is a simple columnar epithelium. Okay, nice basement membrane right there. You'll probably notice in all of these epithelial slides, there's always going to be something called the basement membrane. Right? So your eye should focus on that, the free surface, and then you know that it's an epithelium and not muscle, not nervous tissue, or connective tissue. All right, another kind. This one is a little strange, but at least you can see the apical surface here. All right. Here you can see the basement membrane, and here I see a bunch of cells that kind of look cuboidal, and these up over here at the surface look, what's the shape of these? Columnar. And how do we name an epithelium? By the shape of the cells, by the apical surface or the basal surface? Apical. So this is a columnar epithelium, but it's a little bit complicated. If you look in some areas, it looks like there's one cell that goes all the way down. Here it looks like a number of cells. So depending on exactly where you look, we call this a pseudostratified, right? So sometimes it's one layer, sometimes it's many. All depends on how the tissue is growing. So pseudostratified, columnar epithelium, but you notice another organelle for motility on the apical surface. Those are cilia. All right, so we include that in the name as well. So this is a pseudostratified ciliated columnar epithelium. That's one of the most complicated that, and the tongue twister that you will have to know as far as epithelia go. But it's pretty easy to recognize because of these cilia right here. What's the function of cilia in one word? Motility, yeah, movement, motility. They're sweeping And what they're sweeping is the product from this cell right here. It kind of looks like a champagne glass or a champagne flute. And so some people said, well, we'll name it after the glass. They weren't thinking of champagne. So they say that's a goblet cell, okay, just by the shape. It's kind of bulbous. And look at all these globules of things inside the goblet cell right here, and that's mucus. So these goblet cells secrete right onto the surface, and then these cilia sweep that mucus in one direction, and if it's in our trachea, like we have an example right here, right, that mucus traps dust particles so it doesn't end up in our lungs, right, and cause pneumonia or some kind of nasty infection. So it's swept up out of our lungs, and then we just swallow that mucus and dust particles down to get it out of our respiratory tract. All right, so you do have to know these cells. And since these cells are secreting something, it's a gland. So goblet cells are a gland, but it's kind of an interesting kind of gland because it's only made up of one cell. It's a unicellular gland, right? As opposed to other kinds of glands that are multicellular. All right, so here we see basement membrane right through here. Now, how many layers do you see? Many, many, many. So it's stratified. And what's the shape up here by the apical surface? Squamous. So that's a stratified squamous epithelium. And these are some of the cells that you harvested in lab and looked at underneath the microscope, right, and put some methylene blue on them. Stratified squamous epithelium. And this, how could you convince me this is an epithelium right here, as opposed to some other kind of tissue? Not very much extracellular space. The cells are packed close together. What's another thing, which you probably haven't developed an eye yet for, but you see a tube with red stuff in it going anywhere in here. No blood vessels, right? So it's avascular. There are no blood vessels here. Another characteristic, distinguishing feature of an epithelium. All right, so here is another kind of, right here, epithelium. Here's the basement membrane right through here, bunch of connective tissue in this area here. Here's the lumen of that tube or the duct that's carrying that product from one place in your body to another. So here's basement membrane, apical surface. How many cell layers? There's two, and the cell shape is cuboidal, so it's a stratified cuboidal epithelium. All right, so when you're in lab and you write your response down to a question in lab, make sure you say how you characterize this tissue right here. For sure, it's a stratified cuboidal tissue, but of the four major kinds, which one is it? Don't say stratified cuboidal connective tissue, because guess what? There's no such thing. It's a stratified cuboidal epithelium, right? So if it's an epithelium, you got to say epithelium. If it's connective tissue, you got to put connective tissue. If it's muscle tissue, you got to put muscle, right? And make sure you get those four categories in your mind. All right, here's basement membrane. Here's connective tissue underneath it. And what's the shape of these cells here on the apical surface? They're columnar. How many layers? Stratified. Stratified columnar epithelium. All right, so don't look at the shape of these cells down here by the basement membrane. Look at the apical surface, right? All right, stratified columnar epithelium. Now, this is the strange one. This is a shapeshifter. This line's an organ that changes shape all day long, maybe triples in size sometimes. It can be really small, contracted, and then it dilates as it fills up with urine. And then when somebody voids, what happens to the bladder? It contracts down again. So these cells right here that kind of look like pillows right here, right, they can get very thin and long. And then when the bladder's voided, they just kind of scrunch up together again to form those pillows. So you can see that it's kind of like a stratified epithelium, but these are neither squamous or cuboidal or columnar. So we call that transitional. This is a good picture of a transitional epithelium. Here's the basement membrane, and what do we have underneath the basement membrane? In most cases that you're going to be looking at, you're going to see connective tissue of some kind, right? Connective tissue. All right, so those are the epithelium with One little example right here. Here's a blood vessel, and you can see a blood vessel has a number of different layers associated with it, and the deepest layer is the one that actually forms the lining inside that tube. And we call that an endothelium. Now, as I zoom in here, how many layers does it look like it has right here? Okay, so here is the basement. Here's the basal surface, and then right up over here, this is the apical surface. So how many cells do you see in this space right there? Should I zoom in maybe even more? Whoa. Okay, how many cell layers do you see right through here? There's just one. Okay, so what do we call an epithelium that just has one layer? Simple, right? So an endothelium is a simple, and then what's the shape of these cells? They're flat. So that's a simple squamous epithelium. An endothelium is a simple squamous epithelium. And this is really specialized for exchange because you want things to be able to move in and out of the blood in certain locations. Okay. Oh, here's a good picture. And I suppose this could be a picture on your practicum. All right. So this cell is kind of columnar. You're going to see this in a columnar epithelium. And the job of this cell right here is to secrete mucus. Right, it's mucopolysaccharide. It's part protein, part sugar. It's a very slippery molecule. That's that stuff that comes running out of your nose when you got a cold. Right, but it also helps protect your stomach, the lining of your stomach, so your stomach doesn't digest itself with the acid in there. So it acts as a buffering agent. Okay, so a goblet cell produces mucus. All right, here is a picture that shows the different morphology that you can find with glands. And these kinds of glands, so you know what, maybe we talk about kinds of glands. Let's go back and talk a little about glands. Okay. Could be a single cell. Give me an example. Give me the name of a unicellular gland. Okay, pseudostratified. It's in a pseudostratified ciliated columnar epithelium, but there's only the one cell type. It's secreting something. It's that goblet cell. So the goblet cell is a unicellular or single cell gland, all right? Or it can be multicellular, right? And it's going to secrete onto a surface or into a cavity or into the blood. So a cell is actually going to produce something. It's got a factory inside of it producing a chemical that the cell is going to release, all right? And there's two kinds of glands. Exocrine glands is a kind of gland where the product gets secreted into a tube. It could be your digestive tract. All right? An endocrine gland, on the other hand, when it secretes its product, it gets absorbed by the circulatory system. It gets absorbed by the blood. And once it's in the blood, where does it go? Where does your blood go? Everywhere in your body. Okay? So an endocrine gland has no ducts. It doesn't need a duct because it has your cardiovascular system to transport that chemical through everywhere. All right, but if it's an exocrine gland, it secretes it into a duct, and then that product goes wherever the duct takes it. And usually it's a specific place, not everywhere in the body. So for instance, a sweat gland secretes sweat into a duct, and where does that duct eventually go? Okay, could be a hair follicle, all right? And I'm thinking a little bit more generally on the surface of your skin, okay? So it doesn't go everywhere that the blood goes. It goes to the surface of your skin. So what kind of gland would that be? If it has to take a duct to get to the surface of your skin, what kind of gland would that be? Your two choices would be exo or endo. And that would be an exocrine gland, right? Okay. All right, so here are some types of exocrine glands by their morphology or their shape. Here is one that kind of looks like a tube. These cells right here secrete a product into this tube. It goes to the surface and voila, it's released onto that surface or in this tube right here. But it could be a little bit more complicated. It could have branches. So this is a simple branched tubular type gland. Now is this exocrine or endocrine? Exocrine because there's a tube. There's a tube associated with it. All right, and then here is a compound tubular. So these are all straight tubes, right? So here's one that has branches and then this one right here has what? Branches within branches. So if it has branches within branches, we call that a compound structure. A gland might not have straight tubes, but it might have something that kind of looks like a berry or a bulge or a little bulb on it. And a bulge or a bulb like that sometimes is called an alveolus. We'll use that term a lot in this class. So this is just a nice simple alveolar type exocrine gland because it looks like a little berry. And then here's a simple branched alveolar gland. And then it can have what? Branches upon branches. That would be a compound alveolar. And so these are the ones I really like. I don't think I would test you on this one over here that has a mixture of both straight tubes and alveolar types, right? So, and there's branches upon branches, so we would call that a compound tubulo-alveolar. All right, but when you look at that, it's kind of important for nomenclature purposes. You should be able to analyze this word right here, tubulo-alveolar. What does tubular mean? Straight. Alveolar means kind of like a sphere. Tubulo-alveolar means what? Parts of it are like straight and parts of it are like berries. They're both put together. And you can combine terms in anatomy as long as you do what? You put that little O between them, and then people will know what you're talking about, right? You can make up words if you want to, as long as the two words are defined, right? You can join them together if it's proper to do that. So guess what? That's epithelium, the kinds of epithelium. Let's move on to connective tissue. All right, so again, what's a tissue? It's a group of what? Similar cells performing a similar function. And what about the extracellular material? Okay, and a tissue has the same extracellular material. So a tissue has the same cells performing the same function, and even all the stuff that's outside the cells is similar too. That's a tissue. It's just an epithelium. What can you tell me about the extracellular material? It's basically non-existent. Right? That is not true with connective tissue. So you get to change your focus completely, learn a whole different kind of animal right here. All right. So in connective tissue, you're going to see that what gives that particular tissue its function is really not the cells per se, but the stuff that's between the cells is what's really important. And so it's extensive. In connective tissue, there's an extensive extracellular material, which means what can you tell me about the cells? Close together or far apart? They're going to be far apart. The space between cells is so important that we give it a special name. Anybody know the special name? Was that part of your homework? I hope it was. If it wasn't, I'll have to change the homework for next time. It's called the matrix. So the matrix is the stuff between cells. It's the extracellular material. All right. So connective tissue holds cells and tissues together, has extensive extracellular material we call the matrix. And we got some four general types right here. Connective tissue proper, cartilage, bone, and blood. We're going to take a look at all of these right here. So let me find just a general picture of connective tissue. I suppose this is a pretty good view. This is just an illustration, a simple illustration of connective tissue. And how could you tell this is connective tissue, not an epithelium, right off the bat? Yeah, look at all this big space between cells. Here's one here, far apart, right? So connective tissue. So what do we call all of this stuff right here? That's the matrix. And the matrix has different components in it. So these fibers right here, and you see different kinds of fibers, we call those fibers. And I'll tell you what the name is. All right, all of this other soluble stuff, the stuff that's in solution, we just call that ground substance. All right, so when you think of matrix, you got fibers and you got ground substance. And the ground substance is like jelly that holds a lot of water. These fibers perform different functions depending on what type they are. These thick fibers that I see right here probably represent what we call collagen fibers. So collagen is one kind of fiber. I'll name the fibers first for you. Collagen is one kind. Maybe is it in your notes? Collagen is one kind of fiber. Okay. Yep. Collagen fibers are one kind. Oh, collagen fiber is one. Okay. Collagen fiber is like a steel cable or a Kevlar thread. I don't know if you know what Kevlar is, but it's extremely strong. It's even stronger than steel. So if we had a steel cable, I had one end and you had another end and we pulled, could we stretch that steel cable? There's no way, right? So collagen just doesn't stretch. If you get into a car accident or something, there might be enough force to stretch it, but then it gets destroyed, right? It gets ripped apart. But collagen under most circumstances is really, really tough. Can't stretch. As opposed to elastic fibers, right? If we have an elastic fiber, you hold one end, I hold another, what happens to it? It can stretch, and then I let go, what's going to happen? It's going to snap back to its original location, right? So same thing for elastic fibers in our body. Can stretch, and then as long as you don't overstretch it, it goes back to the length it was. So that's pretty handy, okay? So collagen is strong, elastic, not nearly as strong, but here's the weakest one. These are reticular fibers. Reticular fibers are made out of collagen, right? But they're really, really thin, they're highly branched, and they're short. And as soon as you put significant tension on a reticular fiber, it's going to break. So it provides a little support to some organs. There's one kind of organ in your body that's very, very easily damaged by trauma, and it's not very strong. So if it rips, it's so weak that you can't even put a suture in it to close it back up. Just the act of putting a suture in it is going to cause it to rip some more, which means it's going to bleed more. Anybody know what organ I'm talking about? And hopefully you do not have firsthand experience with this organ. But yes, you know or reading my mind, it's the spleen. Okay, so the spleen is held together with reticular fibers, which is sufficient under most circumstances, but in a car accident, motorcycle accident, it can rip. And in order to prevent somebody from bleeding to death, the only thing that you can do is actually remove that part of the spleen, hopefully not the whole organ, but you might have to sometimes, okay? Because it only has reticular fibers. Okay. All right, so let's look at a particular kind of connective tissue. We're going to call it areolar connective tissue. And here is an illustration of an areolar connective tissue, and I think I got a picture on the next slide. But here, we see a cell. And then there is another cell over here, and one over here. What can you tell me about the space between these cells? A lot of space. And that space between cells, then, is what we call the matrix. So this is a connective tissue. So here's a big, thick, strong fiber right here. Which is the big thick one? Collagen. You also have to know the name of the cell that is going to synthesize and secrete that collagen fiber. And you can see it wrapping itself around that fiber right there. What's the name of a cell that secretes collagen? Okay, it is a, right there. Fibroblast. Fibro, meaning fiber, secretes fibers into the matrix. All right. Fibroblasts also secrete elastic fibers. They also secrete reticular fibers, right? So any kind of cell that's secreting fiber into the matrix is a fibroblast. So you got to be able to link those terms up. All right. So here we have looser areolar connective tissue because sometimes these collagen fibers are moving from left to right. Sometimes they move from top to bottom. Right? Sometimes they're going to move in and out of the plane of the image. So collagen fibers and areolar connective tissue are not packed together very tightly, and they're oriented in all different directions. All right, so let's take a look at what that really looks like underneath the microscope slide. So here is areolar connective tissue. There might even be some fat cells in there that give it a yellow color, right, as well as blue. So it's a very easy slide to pick up, kind of reminds me of a stained glass window, and you're just going to say areolar. What kind of tissue is areolar? What are the four kinds? You got epithelium, you've got connective, muscle, and nervous tissue. All right, so areolar is which kind? It's connective tissue, right? Okay, so areolar CT. So in this area right here, this is matrix, but this is ground substance. These fibers right here, these thick ones, are the collagen fibers, and these thinner ones right here are elastic. So this tissue is pretty good. It can help join different tissue layers together, and it gives a little bit in all directions, but it's still kind of strong. It can still hold things together. All right, so areolar connective tissue. We're going to come back to that one. This is a little bit higher magnification. I'm not going to ask you to name the cell types right here, but I will ask you to know that these fibers that are staying very dark, notice how highly branched they are, and that they don't exist for long distance. Okay? These are short collagen fibers. This is what reticular tissue looks like. And this is an example from a spleen. All right, so reticular CT. What does CT stand for? Connective tissue. All right, let's go to this one right here. How do you know this is not an epithelium? Because there's no basement membrane, no free surface, and here are the cells. There's one here, one down here. The cells are far apart. So here is the matrix. So it's a connective tissue. These are all collagen fibers in parallel sheets or parallel bands. This is what we call dense, regular connective tissue. This is the strongest kind of connective tissue. As long as you apply tension from end to end, all right, this kind of tissue is not going to stretch. It's going to be almost impossible to damage because they're really strong steel cables. So this is the kind of tissue that your body uses to make tendons and ligaments. Dense, regular, meaning that all the collagen is oriented in the same direction. That's the dimension that can withstand a lot of force. But what happens if we take a tendon or a ligament, instead of pulling on it from end to end, we pull it from side to side? Guess what can happen? The different layers can separate pretty easily because there's no collagen oriented in that direction. So people can damage tendons and ligaments if they use a joint inappropriately and they put lateral tension on a tendon and a ligament. It can rip, it can separate, and then it'll be really difficult to heal because in this tissue we don't find blood vessels either. So here we have cells secreting collagen into the matrix. Guess what we call those cells? Fibroblasts, right? Anything that secretes fibers are fibroblasts. So this could be a good practical figure, right? And we'll put question number 50. What are these things? Just write what you have in your book. You could say, maybe fibroblasts. Read the question on the practicum, okay? So you could put nuclei of fibroblasts, but if the question says name the cell right here, you would say a fibroblast, right? And if it says what are these fibers right here, you're going to say collagen. And if the question is what kind of tissue is this, you would say? Yeah, four words. Dense, regular, connective tissue. And your lab instructor might allow you to abbreviate connective tissue CT, right? Okay, so talk to your lab instructor about doing that, because I don't know if that would fit on the line. All right, let's go back to the previous. Here we have fibroblasts separated by large distances, so you can tell this is a connective tissue. These are collagen fibers, but here's a collagen fiber that's kind of moving from right to left. Here's a collagen fiber that is moving in and out of the plane of the image. All right, and then there are some that are oblique, like in this region right here, that are angulated. So here you have collagen oriented in all different directions, but it is still very dense. It's dense and irregular. So we call this dense, irregular connective tissue. Collagen is not all in layers. So it's pretty strong, not as strong as a tendon, but it's used to make joint capsules. And it can withstand some tension very well in all directions, not just from left to right like in dense, regular. So this is dense, irregular connective tissue. And guess what kind of cell that is right there? It's a fibroblast. Yeah, fibroblast. There's dense regular. All right, next kind. We have some cartilage, and there are three kinds of cartilage in the body. And we'll talk about them in order of how strong they are. Okay, so don't forget, I'm putting my lectures online in case you want to listen to the lectures again. So they were up there probably Friday or Saturday morning. So you'll be able to listen to this lecture again. So here are celts. And then here's the next one. And then there's one over here. So does this look like an epithelium? No, it's a connective tissue. So where I have the cursor is matrix. And do you see any fibers in here? No, it's mostly ground substance, right? It's mostly ground substance. There is some collagen, but it's a very soluble form. It's not a kind that can withstand tension or pulling. So here is a cell that we find in cartilage, but it's not associated with the matrix. It's in a little bubble. That little bubble is what we call a lacuna. Okay, so whenever you see cells in a lacuna, it's going to be one of two kinds of connective tissue. One is cartilage. All right, and this particular cell, I know it's cartilage because I don't see any fibers right here. And if you look with the right magnification, it just has a special kind of little speckling pattern that you'll be able to recognize. And it's just random. These cells are just in random places within cartilage. And a cell that's in cartilage is not called a fibroblast. It's named after cartilage. And so there's a term that means cartilage, and that is chondro. Anytime you hear chondro, that should invoke in your memory cartilage of some kind. And what's the word for cell in Greek? It's site, right? So chondrocyte is a cartilage cell of some kind. And where do we find the chondrocytes? They're going to be within a lacunae. Right. And whenever we have cartilage without fibers in it, we call that hyaline cartilage. So if it just kind of looks very homogeneous, kind of translucent, that is hyaline cartilage. And hyaline cartilage covers the tips of bones that articulate with each other so bones don't grind each other away. It also helps make up part of the rib cage right here. So cartilage is not strong like bone. It can bend. All right, so you probably have some elastic fibers in here as well, just a little bit. There's another kind of cartilage that is really bendy, right, because it has elastic fibers. So let me bend something, okay, and then let go. What's going to happen? Yeah, it's just going to snap back, right? I just kind of deform my ear. That's another kind of cartilage. So guess what kind that would be? Elastic, right, elastic cartilage. All right, so here is what elastic cartilage looks like. We still have lacunae with chondrocytes in there, but now instead of a homogeneous matrix, we see some fibers. These are elastic fibers. They're highly branched, right? And they're kind of going in all different directions. So this is what elastic cartilage looks like. All right, and then lastly, we have chondrocytes inside lacunae. The magnification is a little bit different. But now, what can you tell me about the matrix? Does it have fibers in it? Or is it just translucent like hyaline cartilage? It's got fibers. But look at the orientation of the fibers. Do they go in every which way? They're kind of going in one direction, right? So this is a dead giveaway that this is fibrocartilage. These are strong collagen fibers that are going to resist pulling or tension, right, in the way that this slide is aligned from right to left. And this is the kind of cartilage that helps make up intervertebral discs, at least the outer ring. Okay, so this is the strongest kind of cartilage. All right, so fibrocartilage. Another kind of connective tissue that is similar to cartilage, all right, but when you look at this slide right here, it seems like we're in a botany class. Because what does it look like? You see rings inside rings inside rings inside rings, which kind of reminds you of what? A tree. Yeah, the trunk of a tree or something. Okay? Well, this is actually bone connective tissue. And we do have rings inside rings inside rings. So there's tubes inside tubes, and the tubes are oriented along the long axis of this bone, which makes a bone very strong to compression. Bones don't compress very easily. All right, so these cells right here are in lacunae as well, just like in cartilage, but we don't call them chondrocytes. We call them osteocytes. So when you hear osteo, you're going to think bone. All right, so you got to be able to recognize this as Name the tissue. Three words. Bone, that's one. Connective tissue. And you got to know those cells. When we get into bone, we're going to learn a lot more about the structure that you see right there. But not for your first practicum or for your first test. Okay? But is that easy to tell that? That's bone? Yeah, because it just rings inside rings inside rings. It's really easy to see. All right, here is. Oh, let me go back. So here we know this is a connective tissue because here's a cell separated by extensive matrix. And here's the second cell, far apart from the first one. The matrix has collagen fibers, but it also has a lot of calcium and phosphate, which is acting kind of like cement. So the matrix in bone is what? It's not just fibers, it's a solid, so it does not compress. Okay. As opposed to this connective tissue right here. Right? So you can tell it's connective tissue because the cells are far apart. Here's the matrix. The matrix in this particular tissue is totally opposite than bone. Bone is solid. This one here is a liquid. So this kind of connective tissue can flow from one part of the body to the other. So we call this three words. Blood, connective tissue. So blood is a connective tissue, totally different than bone. And you should know these cell types. All right, this will get you started. Here are red blood cells that carry oxygen everywhere in our body. These over here are white blood cells, and these fight infections. The most common kind we see right here is a neutrophil. This is like the first one that arrives at a place where you've been injured, and when you get millions of these things piling up in a certain area where you have an infection, that's what forms pus. Okay, this one right, and you can tell this is a neutrophil because here's the nucleus. It has many lobes to the nucleus. This white blood cell over here is fairly common. It's called a lymphocyte, but notice the nucleus. It's spherical, doesn't have a bunch of lobes on it, and it fills up almost a whole cell. Okay? So that's how you would tell those cells apart. So again, this would be an excellent picture to put on the practicum. So I could ask you the name of the tissue. You'd say?
Blood
CT. Yeah, don't say blood epithelium, right? And then I could ask you, oh, what's the name of the cell? And then you'd say, from memory, of course, right? Red blood cell. Okay. I don't think we're going to ask you function in these things just yet. All right. Well, let's go back to this connective tissue right here. So connective tissues can be a lot different from each other. Some can have a solid matrix. Some can have a fluid matrix. And this one is the strangest one yet because... Look at, here's the cell. This is the boundary of a cell. And where's the next cell? Right next door to it. Okay? So this kind of tissue does not have an extensive matrix. The important stuff is actually intracellular. And these are adipocytes. So they store fat inside the cell. So adipose connective tissue is atypical because it does not have an extensive matrix. But nonetheless, we still consider it a connective tissue. All right, so that's pretty good. We've been through the connective tissues. Okay, we got all the connective tissues right here. Ah, your notes are really nice. What's another name for a red blood cell? Erythrocyte. Guess what erythro means? Red, yeah, even if you don't know Greek, that's probably a dead giveaway. White blood cell, all right, what's a Greek name for white? Yeah, or Latin, oh, it might be Latin, actually. Leuko, okay, might be Latin. So that's a white blood cell. This one is not on, it's on your slide, but it's not labeled. All right, a thrombocyte or a platelet, that functions to stop bleeding. Should I show you what a platelet looks like real quick, in case you're interested? Because nobody wants to bleed to death, you got to have these in there. Here's a little platelet, right there. Okay, and so your body's got to be producing those so that you don't bleed to death. That's sometimes called a thrombocyte. It can produce a thrombus, which is a plug. But if you have a hole in a blood vessel, guess what you want to put in that hole in a blood vessel? A plug, right? You don't want plugs everywhere, but just where that cut is. Okay. All right. Anybody know the symbol, the animal symbol for the United States of America? find it on a dollar bill, maybe on some coins. It's an eagle. What kind of eagle? A bald eagle. Is he really bald or her really bald? No, they just have white feathers. So when you look at them compared to other dark feathers, they look bald. So guess what the scientific name for the bald eagle is? What? Somebody almost said it, even without knowing. Ah, little mind trick right here. It's leucocephalus. What does leuco mean? White. Cephalus means head. It's a big white-headed bird. Right? So leuco is what? Leuco means white, like a white blood cell. Okay. Okay, muscle tissue specialized for contraction or shortening. You only got three kinds. All right, and those are skeletal, cardiac, and smooth. You should know these characteristics, probably not for the practicum, but for the first test in here. All right, skeletal makes up about 40% of your body weight. It's multinuclear. It contains many nuclei, which is kind of strange. But that's because a skeletal muscle cell, as it exists in our bodies right now, is extremely long and linear. And the way it got that way is that hundreds of cells got together and joined together to make that big, long fiber. And so those nuclei didn't die. They're still all in that one cell that formed from those hundreds of cells, the progenitor cells. All right, so skeletal cells contain a number of nuclei. And because it's long and linear, sometimes we call it a muscle fiber. So muscle fiber is the same thing as a skeletal muscle cell. It's striated, which means that it has stripes, and that's the only thing that you can control on your body. So we say it's under voluntary control. So what does skeletal muscle look like? We're going to skip some of these membranes. Ah, here's a picture right here. You see the stripes. All right, so the stripes I'm talking about are these small vertical stripes. Those are striations. We're going to see why they develop. We're going to look at the morphology of those stripes or striations when we get to the muscle chapter, not in this one, but we'll use it to recognize it as skeletal muscle. You can see all the nuclei in one cell. And you see any branching? Nope, it's just long and linear, right? So here are just individual skeletal muscle cells, and you can see the striations. The next kind of muscle, I see striations. I still see vertical stripes, all right? Looks a little bit different because look what we have right here. We got a branch. This one right here is cardiac muscle. These cells are branched and they're short. They only go from this dark line to this dark line. So they're not like a skeletal muscle cell. And this is what makes up your heart. So we call this cardiac muscle. And can you control your heart? Is it voluntary or involuntary? Involuntary, this is true. Not like skeletal muscle. So you can't really control your heart rate or force of contraction, right? But I could say, you know, I'm going to give you a pop quiz right now, so put your books away, all right? And what happened to your heart rate? It probably sped up, right? So you can play tricks to mess with your heart rate, but you can't really control it, for instance, like your biceps brachii. All right, so it's branched, it's involuntary. These junctions between cells are very special. It has to do with this is different than skeletal muscle because it has these things called intercalated discs. So the structure of that heart muscle is different. Guess what that means? The function, the way it's controlled is different, right? And of course you know that because skeletal is voluntary control, heart is involuntary. We're going to talk about how cardiac muscle is controlled differently. It's controlled differently because of these intercalated discs right here. So the intercalated discs help join the cells together so that when they contract, they don't pull apart, so that the heart can contract in unison. So can you tell this picture apart from this one right here? Similarities, but what? Significant differences. The similarities are the striations. So therefore, you know it's some kind of muscle, right? And here's another kind of muscle because you see striations, but because of the branch patterns, it's easy to see that that's cardiac muscle. All right, the last kind is probably the worst picture in your book, and maybe they even threw that picture out. No, it's still in there. Okay, this one right here is smooth muscle. It's involuntary, means you can't control it, It forms muscle in tubes that are inside your body, reproductive structures like uterus, okay? And the cells kind of have this kind of shape to them. Think of a football, which is really good because what's happening Sunday? Super Bowl. So here's a football, but what? It's really stretched out. So that's what a smooth muscle cell looks like. It's just a super stretched out football. It's got these two pointy ends right here. And guess what? No striations in there. And one nucleus. All right, so that's how you could tell. And from this picture, it's actually hard for me to visualize. So I think it's kind of hard for you to visualize. So, so for instance, if you look at smooth muscle, all these cells are going to be, right, in layers like this. Right, so that's what smooth muscle is going to look like. It does not have striations. Okay, then lastly, we have nervous tissue. Two kinds of cells that make up nervous tissue. And I can see them both in here. These that are really dark, here's the nucleus, right? Here's a nucleus right there. How come I lost my cursor? All right. So that means I can zoom in a little bit. These dark cells right here, with these long processes, can send information in the form of electrical impulses over long distances throughout your body. So these are what we call neurons. That's one kind of cell. All right. And then other cells, we can see, don't have these long processes. You have to know what these processes are called? No, you don't. Not for this test. But does anybody know what these long processes are called? They could be dendrites or axons. So neurons have either axons or dendrites that are carrying information long distances. These other cells that you can just barely see the nuclei of that surround these cells, all right, those are supporting cells that help the neurons perform their function. And you're going to have to learn sooner or later what they're called, a number of different names. All right, they're called neuroglia or neuroglial cells. But I think for the practicum, if you say support cell, that would be good. All right, so what are the two cells you got in nervous tissue? Here's the second one. And what's the first one again? Neuron. These conduct electrical impulses. These support the ones that send electrical impulses places. Okay, so that's most of the tissues. All right, and now what I want to do is to help you prepare for the practicum just a little bit in the remaining minutes that we have in class. All right, so I've got some pictures, and I want you to tell me what you see when I show you a picture. So what are the four tissue types that it could be? Epithelium, connective, muscle, or nervous tissue, right? Furthermore, you're going to have to pick which kind of connective tissue it is, right? So how would you distinguish epithelium from connective tissue? Epithelium is packed together, no matrix, okay? Basement membrane, apical surface, could have a lot of layers or maybe just one. Could be cuboidal cells, could be squamous cells or columnar cells. So those are some of the things that I want you to look for. All right, other things that are on the practicum could be imaging planes, could be pictures of mitosis. So I have some mitosis in here as well. All right, so the sign-in sheet is still going around, right? Okay, so if you didn't sign it, you got to make sure you signed it. And if you're getting errors on your online quizzes, make sure you see me today and we can take a quiz and let's just practice the mechanics of taking an online quiz so you don't get gypped out of points, right? All right, so let's take a look at these pictures. So if you're rustling, don't rustle, right? Just sit down and don't rustle because this is on the test, right? Not this figure, but this next one. What do we got right here? Are you thinking tissue or some kind of process? Mitosis. So if it's mitosis, what are you going to tell me? The phase. Yeah, look at these chromosomes right in the middle. That's metaphase, right? Okay, plus you should know all the other structures you see right there, spindle apparatus, centrioles. All right, rest station. Are you ready for the next one? What is this? I see chondrocytes in a lacunae. No fibers in the matrix. This is hyaline cartilage, CT, connective tissue. Hyaline cartilage, CT. All right, so if that's not making sense to you, where are you going to find resources to pass the practicum? Where would you find this? Yeah, this in Blackboard. I think I have a video of doing this same kind of stuff, but they're also in your textbook, right? Okay, so you can practice this. Rest station. These cells, I don't know if we've gone over this. These cells, look at the nucleus. It's all homogeneous. I don't really see chromosomes in there. That is a growth phase. What is the growth phase called? That's interphase. So all of these cells are in interphase. Interphase. All right, next slide. Oh, this looks like mitosis again. What's happening here? Anaphase. The daughter chromosomes are separating. Anaphase. You don't have to tell me later early. What is this? Bone CT, right? Rings upon rings. What are these cells? Osteocytes. Osteocytes, right, osteocytes. Is that easy to see right away? Yeah, so eventually we're going to speed it up because you'll get bored if I talk forever. All right, what's this? Epithelium. Here's the base of a membrane. It's simple cuboidal epithelium, simple cuboidal epithelium. What's this? Blood what? Blood CT. And you got to know the names of where all these lead lines are going, like lymphocyte, neutrophil, red blood cell. And if you say erythrocyte, guess what? That's fine. Because a lot of things in anatomy have more than one correct name, right? Just like you all do. Okay. All right. What's this one here? Basement membrane, could be one or two layers, pseudostratified, ciliated, columnar epithelium. Okay? Pseudostratified, ciliated, columnar epithelium, because here's the free surface, right? Here's the basement membrane. All right, basement membrane, free surface. This is a stratified squamous epithelium. Stratified squamous epithelium. Okay, next one. Basement membrane, a couple layers, stratified cuboidal epithelium, right? Stratified cuboidal epithelium. Basement membrane, apical surface, all kinds of strange shapes in here. These are shapeshifters. Yeah, so this is a transitional what? CT, muscle, nerve, epithelium. Yep. Aha. Areolar CT. What kind of fiber is that? That's collagen. And here's elastic. Okay. What kind of cells produce these fibers? Fibroblasts. All right. Adipose CT. A little strange, right? But these are all adipocytes. Mitosis, what phase? The chromosomes are starting to develop. Extended chromatin is condensing. This is prophase. Okay? Probably in your book it says early prophase. Fibroblasts, collagen going in all directions, but it's tightly packed, but all directions. It is dense, irregular CT. Dense, irregular CT. No, not for me. Your lab instructor maybe wishes you to do that. Okay? Talk to your lab instructor. Thin branched fibers, reticular CT. Stratified columnar epithelium. Ah, the bad picture. I'm going to just say smooth muscle. Simple columnar epithelium. Yeah, and you know that's an epithelium because here's the free surface, basement membrane. Packed cells, one layer, simple. Collagen fibers, all going in one direction, packed tight, dense, regular CT. All right, we're going to go through this probably a couple times. Oh, we didn't talk about this one yet. This is skin. That's the next lecture. So Wednesday, we'll do this Wednesday. All right. Oh, what's that? Cardiac muscle. All right, well, look at the video, and we're going to do this first thing on Wednesday morning. All right, so if you got a practicum before lecture, then just work through these different slides.
Can you go back to the
like this one? This is telophase with cytokinesis taking place.
But cytokinesis is when it's already separated, right?
Cytokinesis is the process of separating cytoplasm into the two daughter cells. Okay? So by that time, the chromosomes have separated completely already.
Right?
It happens within telophase.
Within?
Yeah.
Oh,
so cytokinesis is the separating of the cytoplasm,
oh,
not the chromosomes.
Okay.
And don't forget SI today.
Doctor.
That's me.